I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans this morning. Our scripture text is taken from Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read the first five verses of Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome. And he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The Word of God for the people of God. Murphy's Law says that if anything bad can happen, it will, and at the worst possible time. Amen. And there have been days when I have been guilty of saying Murphy was an optimist. Looking at life through the Murphy lens is a little on the fatalistic side, I believe. But the truth is that things do go wrong. A lot. Like cars quitting on the way home from work after a long, hard day, as my wife can attest to. Hurricanes blow in. Fires break out. The stock market crashes. People we love leave. People we love die. And people who don't die that we love disappoint us. Now, I could go on this morning until we are all deeply depressed. But what Paul writes to the Roman church is that in spite of the blows that come with living, it's possible to remain standing and to be secure. Does that make you hopeful? The title of my sermon this morning is "The Subtle Art of Being Secure Through Life's Up and Down." Or through life's ups and downs. I could have used what's on the bulletin this morning for a sermon title. If you notice on your bulletins, do you guys have them? If you'll look at the cover, there is a dad there with a little boy on his shoulders. Can any of you all identify with that? Hopefully you can. Or a little girl on his shoulders, possibly. I've carried both my little boys and my little girl on my shoulders. And I've been carried on the shoulders, not of my father, for I was never carried on my father's shoulders, but I've been carried on the shoulders of uncles, cousins, good men, who, even though they were not my biological father, were fathers to me just the same. And superimposed on the front of the bulletin are these words from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, "Above all, love." And maybe that would, I thought, have been a better title for today's sermon. But in the end, I think both titles say things that we need to understand. How to stay standing, how to be secure through life's ups and downs. Now, let me say this is not a sermon about how to invest your money wisely, okay? It's about how to be okay even though you blow it, which all of us do. in various ways and sometimes in ways that are less than creative. What Paul writes is that God has made a way for us. He has not given us a trouble-free life, but he has given us access to the grace to stand. What do you think about that? God has not given us a trouble-free life, but he has given us, Paul writes, access to the grace to stand. When I lived in Louisiana, I learned about a way to build houses. Now, I'm not a builder. I still couldn't build a house, but I learned about a way to build houses, to build buildings, and it was called hurricane bracing. Any of y'all know anything about that? You know about it, right? If you're going to live in Louisiana, if you're going to live in South Florida, if you're going to live in South Texas,
Houston,
yes. You want your house hurricane braced. And see, what Paul is writing about here, I believe, is exactly that, only not about houses, but about our lives. Jesus talked about that. He talked about the wise and the foolish builders. Have you read that in the scripture? He said, the wise man built his house where? On a rock. The foolish man built his house where? On the sand. And there's a lot of sand in Houston, isn't there? As there was in Louisiana and as there is in Florida. Well, the wind came and the rains poured and the water rose, and the man who built his house on a solid foundation, the man whose house was hurricane braced, his house was able to stand. But the one who did not build his house on solid ground lost everything. Note that it is in God's grace that we are able to stand. And it is by God's grace that we remain standing. In another place, Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians that God is able to make us stand even though others may judge us as irretrievably fallen. Do you think there may have ever been a time in your life when people looked at you or someone looked at you and they considered you to be irretrievably fallen? Paul said, who are you? Not to you, but to those who were judging you. He said to them, who are you to judge somebody else's servant? Because it is by him that that one will either stand or fall. And Paul said, listen to me, he is able to make them stand. Paul said, God is able to make us stand. He provides us access into this grace. Now, the word access is a rich word from the Greek. It's from a nautical term. Any sailors in here? Any sailors? We're pretty landlocked here in New Mexico. Now, down in Houston, I'm sure there got to be some sailors down there somewhere, right? But this is a nautical term. That's where it originated from. And it describes the safe approach of a ship through rough waters, through treacherous shoals, to a harbor where it could land unmolested. Now, there are several words in this passage of Scripture that tell us what it is that gives us access to the grace to stand in life, no matter what hits us. Justification, that's a beautiful word. That's a rich word. Peace. We just walked among one another a moment ago and we touched one another. We shook hands. Laying on of hands. Human touch. And as we laid hands on one another, we said to one another, may the peace of God be with you. And the response that came back was what? Also with you. Now this is liturgical. This is practice. This is ritual. And yet it is more than that. In our liturgy and in our ritual, as with the sacraments, with everything that we do in the public worship, there are teachable moments, These are teachable moments. These are places where God meets us and speaks to us and teaches us and shows us about bigger, broader, more wondrous things. And yet there is something rich in that word. Isn't there peace? Hope. Do you like that word? Hope. And then there's that other word, and I preached a little bit about this a few weeks ago, glory. I used to know a preacher where I grew up back in southern Appalachia. Actually, it was north southern. It was central Appalachia where I grew up. Is there such thing as north southern, Jim? I don't know. But central Appalachia is where I grew up, in Virginia, southern Virginia, and eastern Kentucky. And that preacher used to always say, glory. You ever heard anybody talk like that? Glory, he'd say. Well, we could drill down into each one of those words profitably. And there are some here today who are praying the preacher won't do that today. And I'm not going to. But the bottom line of the gospel, and these words are all gospel words. The bottom line of the good news, and these are all good news words. The bottom line of the gospel can be summed up in a story about something that was said by a famous theologian named Karl Barth. Once after he had spoken at the great cathedral at the University of Chicago, someone approached him and they said to the famous theologian, they said, Dr. Barth, could you sum up very succinctly in just a few words everything that you have learned in your many, many, many years of studying theology? And Karl Barth responded, yes. And with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye, he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be made whole, might be saved. What keeps us standing? Knowing that God loves us keeps us standing. Today's bulletin cover says, above all, what? Love. Now, we could go a lot of places with that. That's what good fathering is about. Good fathering isn't about always being right or always having the right answers. Nobody's right all the time. Did you know that? And everybody's wrong some of the time. But let me tell you what good fathering is about. Good fathering is about what we're looking at here this morning. It's about loving. And Paul writes that love never fails. How many of you know that fathers fail sometimes? How many of you know that it's true that love never fails? I struggle with believing that God is always right. Am I the only one like that? Now, there's probably somebody here. My wife believes much more easily than I do. I have always been a skeptic at heart who longs to believe. Anybody identify with what I'm saying? I struggle with believing that God is always right sometimes. But when I look at the cross, my friends, I know that he loves me. And that faith in the love that God has for me, in spite of every question I may have, every doubt, every wind that blows into my life, every bad thing that happens, that love that I see demonstrated on that cross gives me the power to stand. Children are able to stand in life not because their fathers were always right, but because they know that their fathers love them. The greatest gift that we can give our children is the gift that God gives to us, and that is the gift of loving them. We will never stand because we understand the mystery of the Trinity and are able to explain it flawlessly. We will never stand because we have figured out the complexity of human sexuality or gender. We will never stand because we understand what the Bible teaches perfectly about justification and reconciliation with God. But what allows us to stand is, in spite of not understanding those things, being able to embrace mystery and say, I don't know, I don't have the answers, I can't figure it all out, but I know Jesus loves me. What are the words to the song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. John Nash was a professor at Princeton University, great mathematical mind. Made a movie about him a few years ago. How many of you saw it? A Beautiful Mind. In 1992, Dr. Nash, or 1994, he received the Nobel Prize for Economics. If you saw the movie, you know already that Dr. Nash suffered from probably one of the most or the most difficult of all mental illnesses, schizophrenia. And yet even so, he overcame. He was able to stand. So much so that he received the Nobel Prize. And when he received that prize, during his speech, these are the words that he spoke. He said, I have always believed in numbers, in the equations and logics that led to reason. And after a lifetime of such pursuits, I ask, what truly is logic? Who decides reason? My quest has taken me through the physical, the metaphysical, the delusional, and back. And I have made the most important discovery of my career, the most important discovery of my life. It is only in the mystery, the mysterious equation of love, that any logic or reason can be found. Now he says this to his wife, Alicia. I can only be here tonight because of you. You are the reason I am here tonight. You are my reason. All my reasons. Thank you. We will stand because we know God loves us. Our children will stand because we have learned from God to love them. And they will, through us, have learned of God's love, through experiencing His love through us. And maybe not our own children even, but maybe the children of our neighbors and those who live around us who don't have biological fathers in their lives. We know God loves us. And maybe standing is learning to love like our Father in heaven loves us. But most of all today, I think what we need to leave this place with understanding is God loves us and God is able to make us stand. Amen. Would you stand with me? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this precious time that we've been able to be together this morning. Thank you for your Spirit's presence. We thank you, Lord, that we have sensed your love and your grace. So many gifts, Lord, that you give us. And Lord, I would be remiss today if I did not mention, Lord, as representative of your grace, the gift of our dear friend Brian. Thank you, Lord, for gracing this church with him, with his gifts, with his ministry. Lord, the music, the songs, but Lord, so much more. Such a heart for service. We give you thanks, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this place, that this people, that this family, that this church is different, Lord, because you graced us with his leadership. Bless him, Lord, as he goes. And Father, may your light and your life go with him and through him, wherever he may be. And Lord, may we have learned from him. May we have learned to sing. May we have learned to be full of joy. May we have learned to serve. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that even though our hearts break today, they are still filled with joy because, Lord, you are the giver of every good gift. You are God. And Father, we understand that in all that takes place, in all that happens, high and low, in riches and in poverty, Lord, you have provided to us through Christ access to a grace that enables us to stand now and always. Through Christ we pray with joy. Amen.